everybody, and welcome back to the Lord It's Listers podcast. Today I am joined by our intellectual property trainee, Laura. Good afternoon, Laura.
Good afternoon, Ellis.
Pleasure to speak to you. So today we are running through something that Laura has actually sort of experienced firsthand at the moment. She's just moved into our contentious intellectual property department. So that's disputes, so infringement, oppositions, and oppositions is what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to focus on the UK. So if you have any other questions about any other jurisdictions around the world, then please do get in touch and keep your ear out for any future podcasts, because the process does differ depending on where you are geographically. Today we're going to focus with the UK and oppositions in the UK. So, Laura, as we have discussed previously on this podcast, UK intellectual property is governed by the UK Intellectual Property Office.
Yes.
Sort of says it in the name. And they are the go-to for applications, oppositions, and they're sort of the government body that deals with intellectual property.
Yes.
Talking about oppositions, how would you explain that to someone as to what an opposition is?
Okay, yes. So, I mean, you can look at it from either way. You could either be the person applying for a trademark and your mark gets opposed, or you could be a registered mark holder and somebody else tries to come along registering an identical or a highly similar name to that of yours. And that's when you would want to prevent that registration from happening. So, yes, that's essentially what it would be, is doing... you don't necessarily always start with, you can't start with just a straight on opposition. It's important to notify the other party of your intentions, of your rights, or well, your client's rights.
And how would we do that?
Yes, so the first port of call would be a cease and desist letter to the other side. And yes, again, that would be outlining your client's reputation, your client's registered trademarks, how long they've been trading for example, if that's relevant to the scenario, and just kind of establishing your rights and your presence in, for example, say the UK UK market in a certain industry, and outlining how this other party's application, could lead consumers to be confused and associate the two brands as one, and or being linked to one another in some way. So yes, that's usually the first port of call is this letter. And it's different for each scenario. It depends on the response from the other side, shall I say, as to what goes on next.
Yeah, so essentially the cease and desist letter, sort of as the name suggests, is asking them to stop and from refrain from using the mark in the future. So if they then don't respond, or they say, no, we're not going to do that, then we move on to the next step of the process.
Yeah, so that would usually be if your client is willing to proceed with that, is the notice of threatened opposition, known as Form TM7A. So what that does is it extends the opposition period by an extra month. So the standard opposition period for when an application is applied for is 2 months, and that means that other parties, other registered mark holders, have 2 months in which to file their opposition with the UK Intellectual Property Office. So yes, the filing of the TM7A extends it by an extra month, so you then have effectively 3 months in which to potentially go back and forth with the other side, or you might just want to, if you're getting nowhere, you might proceed to filing the opposition. So yes, that's what it does.
Yeah, so it just sort of gives you a little bit of extra time to work out exactly what you want to do. So you have sent your cease and desist letter, you've not had a response to say that they're going to stop using the mark, you filed your notice of threatened opposition to give you that extra month, that hasn't resolved anything, so the next step is to file the formal opposition.
Yes, so that's sort of again a very similar form name. So that's actually the TM7, and that is the formal opposition filed with the UK Intellectual Property Office. It must, of course, be filed within the opposition period, whether you've only done it within the standard 2-month period or whether you've opted in for the notice of threatened opposition, so it's 3 months. It must be filed within that period, and what we need to file is the TM7 form itself alongside a statement of grounds. So those are the things to submit to the Intellectual Property Office, and once they have receipt of that, the trademark register will show the mark as being opposed. And then it's down to the processing times of the UK IPO and how soon the applicants or the applicants' legal representatives receive the full detailed opposition, in which case they will then have the chance to defend the opposition via form TM8. Would you like to expand on that, Ellis?
Yeah, so the TM7, we file with, like Laura said, the statement of grounds. That's your opportunity to put forward your case as to why the application shouldn't be registered. So the full legal arguments about how similar the marks are, how similar the goods and services are, whether that confusion is there with consumers, do you hold any reputation that's going to be damaged? That's sort of your opportunity to give all the information. And then, yes, the other side then have the opportunity to defend that. And that's their opportunity to sort of push back as far as they can in terms of what you're arguing, in terms of why they think the trademark should be registered. So that's sort of the first stage in terms of putting forward those legal arguments. And the next stage is witness evidence. So that differs a little bit to the arguments in terms of being able to provide actual evidence. So documents, photos, links, information as to why your arguments should be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that by way of a witness statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So normally that's from the applicant or the defendant themselves, I should say opponent, not defendant, and that is sort of in the first person, so it's that person's view and experience and knowledge of the situation and how it's impacted them, or on the flip side, how it's not similar, it's not going to be confusing, it's not going to impact them. So that's the next stage, and that is sort of another really important stage in terms of getting your point across and the information that you want the hearings officer, so the person at the UK Intellectual Property Office, to view and consider when they're making their decision. So that's the next stage, and both parties get 2 months to submit their witness evidence, and then we move on to a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So the hearing is optional. You don't have to do a hearing, but I would say 99% of the oppositions have a hearing scheduled, and that is again another opportunity to sort of get in front of the hearing officer and put your point across. So we've got one coming up, haven't we, Laura?
Yes.
Soon, in the next month or so. They're normally done by telephone, and it, like I say, it's your opportunity to sort of get in front of the hearing officer and put your point across by way of sort of persuasive legal arguments. So the final stage is the decision. So once the hearing's taken place, everyone's put all their information in, the hearing officer gets back to their office, they consider everything, and they make a decision. So the decision is normally sent through sort of as a document. Is normally very long and very informative, and basically will decide whether that trademark application should be refused or proceeds to registration. So, Laura, if you don't mind explaining, if a trademark is refused, what does that mean in terms of being protected or not?
Yes, so if it's refused, it will show up as refused on the intellectual property database, and that means it won't be granted any registered protection. So yes, it won't be protected by registration.
Perfect. Yeah, so it's sort of like it comes to a dead end. Think about it as a road, it's come to a dead end, that's it, it sort of dies off, and that's that. So that's pretty much a whistle-stop tour in terms of the opposition. Anything else you'd like to add, Laura?
Yes, I was actually going to ask, so what if some, just as a question people might be thinking about or might be in the position of, what if somebody who potentially filed a mark on their own and wouldn't have a legal representative to advise them on, what happens if your mark is opposed? What are the options that you have? Do you have the option to potentially withdraw your application, or should you proceed to fight it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you receive a sort of notification that an opposition has been filed, you do get a 2-month period to sort of make up your mind as to what you want to do. So yes, absolutely. The first option is to withdraw your trademark. So you can sort of stop your application yourself there and then. You don't have to go through the sort of opposition stage. The second sort of option you have is to try and negotiate with the other side. Reach out to them by letter. If they have sent you that cease and desist letter, then respond to that. Maybe try and find some common ground that both parties will be happy with. Normally that would be sort of maybe limiting your goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's for clothing and you only provide clothing to play golf, but they're providing clothing to, I don't know, go to the beach in. Mm-hmm. So it's quite clear that consumers will be able to differentiate what you do and what the other side does. So there is the opportunity to negotiate and come to a decision which would prevent the opposition from going ahead. And then the third option is to just defend the opposition and away you go. But it can be expensive, especially if you have legal representatives, which is recommended because it is a complicated and detailed process, and could have quite significant impact if your trademark is then refused and you sort of have to start your rebranding all over again. And it is sort of around an 8 to 10 month process, so it is quite a long winded process, especially with each stage and each party normally gets 2 months per stage. So it's certainly something to seek legal advice about, and see as to whether it's worth sort of fighting that opposition, or actually would it be more cost effective for you to just withdraw the application and think about a different brand. So, again, thank you, Laura, so much for joining me today. I hope this has been informative. If you have any questions or anything you want to discuss about oppositions, whether that's filing an opposition or defending an opposition, then please don't hesitate to get in touch with the team. You can find our details on our website, www.laudit.co.uk, or give us a call on 02380 235 979. So thank you again. Please do keep the podcast in your ears and listen for future episodes. But Laura, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Alice. Thank you for all the information.
Thank you for everyone for listening.